All right, welcome to another episode of Rose and Balls. We got to talk about the Pistons. 27 games in a row. It's about to be 28. Taping this Thursday at 3 p.m. They're playing in Boston tonight. 17-point spread. If they break it in Boston, this is the weirdest team ever. And by the way, they could. It's a trap game. We're going to dissect this. What is going on in Detroit? This is craziness. So a couple things. First off, kudos to Weaver for selling in his big idea to the owner. Tom Gorris recently announced no one's going to get cut. He's a big believer of this plan. I am curious at some point if Adam Silver gets involved, because like in Philly situation years ago when he did get involved and threw Colangelo in there, the team was like actively looking to lose. Then they got Ish Smith, who like was a nice runner. Now this could be a situation where like the owner is cool with it. Like, do you come in and save a franchise from an owner that's accepting poor management, poor GM? I don't know. It's a good question. But the Pistons' plan clearly is they're going to have $67 million in cap space. They didn't spend it this past off season. And by the way, like, we were smart. He knew if he did, there would be a clock on how the team played this year. He didn't go after Cam Johnson. Didn't support for anybody. I thought maybe Caleb Bates-Jopp. There was a couple of guys that they could have, you know, didn't. No one. Instead, he kept Bogey, kept Burks. Thought those were going to be good enough vets to ride the ship, hold the tide, whatever. And $67 million this year. So he's hoping to get, I think, Tobias Harris and OG Anunoby. And by the way, that strategy is not flawed in the sense that this is a much better this is going to be a much better offseason for free agents. Siakam's available. OG, Tobias Harris, as I noted. Kyle Anderson, Tyus Jones. A lot of decent talent. $67 million could go a long way. But again, if you're Detroit, you're going to have to overpay to get talent. And I think while that's not the worst idea in the world, it's not like a unique thought. Like, let's get cap space and get someone. Like, any NBA team can have that idea. This is why it's not unique. But you have to be faulted by some of the trades you did and the double down. I thought the Weissman-Bagley doubling down was horrific, right? You go after Bagley because he's the number two pick. It doesn't work out, but then he signed to an extension. So you double down on your mistake. It wasn't really the best fit. Well, let's sign to an extension. Okay, fine. Oh, we're going to do this the next season? We're going to get Weissman. Hey, they did sign to an extension, but you have two similar centers. You were hoping one of them were going to hit. You went 0 for 2. You took the gamble. That was the gamble. Okay? The problem that I have with Weaver is he does this thing where and a lot of GMs do it, they overrate players simply by where they were selected or the pre-draft type. You know, NBA players, when they get to the league, it's a different situation than it was in college or pre-draft. If it's not happening for a couple of years, you got to move on. Okay? But he consistently does. He's doing it with Hayes right now. Right? He did it with Bagley, and did it with Weissman. If those guys were drafted out of the lotto, he's not going after them. Like, who cares if they were drafted high? It was clearly a mistake then. Doesn't mean the mistake gets rectified later. Like, stop trying to make it happen. So those two guys don't belong right now in an NBA rotation. And you have three of them. And then the other problem is, like, I get drafted for talent, and I agree with that. But at some point, you can't develop 10 players at the same time, and you need to complement those players with win-now vets. And now, especially with the lotto odds being what they are, and to be honest with you, with this year's draft not being so great, right, they need to prioritize their youth. And this is, like, one of the core tenets that Detroit should do. So for me, the first step is youth prioritization. And when you do that step, it's pretty obvious. Cade is by far the number one talent you want to develop, and I think Jalen Duren is number two. It's those two guys. Those two guys have a shot. They got a shot long term. They do. So, cool. They got a shot long term. Great. So what? Well, I think Thompson's third, but they were playing Hayes too much minutes up front at the beginning of the year. They doubled down. And now he's, you know, Monty likes him, he's part of the rotation, he's playing hard, I get it. But you can't have that many guys that don't space. And the problem is not only they don't space, the team doesn't defend. You can't do both. So, overall, roster fit bad. The talent's not even there. And no one's in position to be successful, none of their youth. So what do you do from here? I think there are two clear routes you need to take if you're Detroit. Two clear ones. I don't think, first of all, it's unrealistic to say you're going to spend $67 million of cap space. That you are too reliant on free agency by doing that, right? You don't want to rely on that much because if you don't get your, you're likely not going to get your top eight target, right? But the fact you want to get two targets is risky, right? So Detroit wants to get Tobias Harris and OG Anunoby. It's been well reported. You know, Sham's been throwing out Miles Bridges. You're probably not going to get two of those guys. Siakam, you're not going to get two of those because you're not the only team that knows their free agents. And you're the worst team in the league, and you're in a cold city. Why are players going to go to you when they go elsewhere? And the amount that Detroit is going to be willing to give is not that much better, unless they want to overpay like crazy. So you might be able to get one of those guys. First of all, OG, forget it. Like, why is OG going to Detroit over Orlando? And there's going to be other teams that are going to clear cap space, move picks, whatever they need to do, if they think they got a shot at OG. Like, everyone's going to covet OG. He's a 3-and-D guy, you know? Like, you're not getting him. It's a pipe dream. So I think it's silly to be like, no, we're going to get both. That is silly, okay? Instead, it's easier to get a free agent when you already have him, right? So if you trade, I know it sounds silly. This sounds crazy. But if you trade for a free agent, especially if he's restricted, obviously, he can just match. But even if he's not restricted, you can extend him. You're going to have the first stab at just keeping your own. So that's probably the best route. And I think what a good route is seeing who are the free agents that might make sense for you. And, you know, working that way. That makes more sense. But right now, Detroit does not have not many positive assets. So the first bucket they need to think about is, instead of having this free agency pipe dream, is, are there bloated veteran contracts out there that could, in theory, fit with our team in the interim, and we could get other assets in the deal? That's one bucket, and I'll name a few. I know Utah, for example, really wants to move off John Collins. He's got – it's not so crazy. Including this year, he's got 3 years left, about $25, $26 million a year. Now, look, he's a flawed player, but he's at least like a talent, and he's only 26. He could space. He's shooting about 37% from three. He could board. He's got an always great rebounding rate. Not the best defender. I get it. But is he at two more years, let's say, after next year, at 50, a better deal than 4 years, 130 for Tobias Harris? Absolutely. Okay? But you're not going for Collins. You're going for what else you can get with Collins. And you can get quite a bit. You could get potentially Kelly Olynyk, who, again, I think is the type of vet, type of free agent you would want as like a complimentary guy to space. He played well with them a couple years ago, really revitalized their second unit. And you might be able to get a minor asset. And he could dump one of your bad contracts, like we talked about, Marvin Bagley. So, again, I think you could do something like, you know, a Weissman, just unload him, right? It doesn't have to be Weissman. It could be Bagley, Burks, Bagley, Harris. Right, what, you have plenty of expirings now. Bagley, Harris, take on Collins. Okay, take on Kelly Olynyk and get a late protected one of those future Cavs first. Right, so now Utah likes this. Utah wants to clear. They may want to retain marketing. They want to stay under the apron. They want to play Hendricks and Bryce Sensabaugh. Okay, so. There's a negotiation there, I get it, but getting two rotational guys and trading away zero rotational guys is quite significant. Okay, so that's one. Right, that's one idea. That is one, like, really solid idea. Not complicated, just solid. just solid. The other quick thought is Sacramento. They got Harrison Burns at 3 more years. Kevin Huerter is not having a great year. Okay? Now, look, this one can get a little more clever. Can you steal Huerter? Can you do Barnes and Huerter for, let's say, Bogey and Beef Stew? Right? That's an option. The Kings, like Keon Ellis, he's been playing well. You know, again, that spacer is just freaking huge. They got Huerter, my God. Just try to, like, take a stab at him. That's one option. The other option is they could unload Barnes, give you Bogey. So you're getting a, you know, similar type player. Like he got Murray Cook. And maybe you throw in Hayes and we get back Davion Mitchell. You can flip Davion Mitchell to 13. Maybe Kispert comes. Maybe Cam Whitmer comes. That's another idea. Sacramento with Barnes is a guy to utilize. Then there's, you know, Terry Rozier and Charlotte, although I don't know how much they view him as a negative. And then there's, in case of emergency, break open glass, Draymond Green. I get it. Absolutely nuts. But, if you went after Draymond Green, you could get Moses Moody. Okay? You could do Bogey, who's essentially expiring. He's got $2 million guaranteed next year. You could do Bogey for Green. Oh, and we're taking, and maybe you can throw Bagley in there. We're taking back Moses Moody. Okay? And maybe you might be able to get one of a future protected first. I like any of those options. The Sacramento one, I think, is the most interesting because Barnes can play the three or a small ball four. Gives you some flexibility. He's flexible. He can play off the bench as a starter, whatever it might be. Obviously, if they can get Huerter, great. Even if not, I still think it's interesting. I think you finagle Mitchell in a three-way. That's an interesting move. They could do two of those deals, by the way. They could do the Kings one and the Jazz one, which are the safest. I would do some element of that. Okay, so that's... That's one construct, right? I think the Kings one is really good. Okay, he's a guy that's going to keep you competitive, like Barnes is. I think he could rehab some value. He could be flipped, you know, in a year, quite easily, right? Like he could be Jeremy Grant on Detroit, right? Maybe not as good, but you get some of that version. He makes you more competitive. He defends. He's a good vet. Doesn't need the ball. Spaces a bit. It works. So that's the Sacramento, that's the bloated vet concept. Now, like, look, and again, you got to look at, like, who's the wing that's a bloated vet. If it's Kevin Huerter, like, that's your new Jared Smith. Jared Smith used to be this bloated vet that was a wing that could shoot. Cavs took advantage. They got Shumpert and Smith in that deal. They went on a title run. It wasn't only because of that trade, but that trade definitely helps. So that's sort of that route. The next route is Jaden Ivey's got to go. Okay? Ivey absolutely has to go. So now, if you're going to move Ivey, you're cutting your losses, right? His value is declined. It's way worse. And I get it. Like, you know, hey, we need a ceiling guy. He could work. No, it can't. It's not working. He will flourish elsewhere. The team that gets him wins the trade. I get it. But you still become better. It's not like you both. It could be a win-win. And to me, there's really two teams that would be interested in Ivey. The situation, first of all, that a team would be interested in is a team that needs a high-usage young guard that's willing to wants to go high ceiling. Maybe there's three. The most obvious team to me is Brooklyn. Okay, Simmons is out for the year. This year is kind of a wash. They could take a chance. They have a bunch of off-the-ball talent. And if you're Detroit, your goal here is really to get win-now vets and picks. And I think you could get two of the off-the-ball talents. You could do one of the two following trade ideas. Okay? Right. One idea, right, is... you just go after Cam Johnson again. It's a bad contract. And you do either Cam Johnson and a future Phoenix first. Now, that might be a little too rich if you're Brooklyn, because, like, all right, dude, we need the spacers. You know, we just signed him to this contract. I get it. Plus, he's not super young. And he gets injured a lot. So I don't love it that much for Detroit. I think his market value is, you know, I still get nervous about him. The other thing that I kind of like that you can do is go after two guys who are expiring as well and get two first. So you could do something like Ivy and try to throw in a bad, always try to throw in a bad contract. Give them Bagley. Okay, he's the worst contract on the team. You don't need him. Ivy and Bagley. And giving back Dorian Finney-Smith and Royce O'Neal and two Phoenix firsts. And, like, look, I get it. Like, you're not getting a talent back, but you get two picks. The Pistons don't have future picks. And you might argue, Eitan, you told me they can't develop 10 guys at the same time. I understand. The purpose of future firsts in the NBA is to have assets you can eventually trade. They're trade chips. It doesn't mean you use them. Most teams don't use all those picks. They eventually move them. It doesn't mean if they get 50 firsts, they don't have to be OKC or Utah. But get two. Right now, they can't move any first because the first is owed in a wacky restricted. It's a future protected first that doesn't convey for like another 4 years. It most likely won't convey. So they can't even trade a first if they're ever good again or for any deal. Swap, what have you. So they need to get more first. They need to have some kind of asset Chesney build that they don't just relinquish immediately. And that's an interesting construct to me. You get two firsts. Royce O'Neal and Dorian Finney-Smith immediately are in the rotation, provide solid spacing, and everybody, not just a few people, everybody's happy. Everybody's happy in that deal. Okay? The other routes aren't as great. The other routes are a little less, I would say, realistic, right? They're a little less realistic, I would say. They're just, you know, they're a little less realistic. And, you know, look, I could see Ainge maybe being interested. He likes to be a high-ceiling guy. I get it. Can you get Keontae George in a pick? I don't know if Ainge does that. Can you sneak in some kind of Collins Olynyk deal with that? Right? Maybe. And the other team is San Antonio. And, you know, the guy you get from San Antonio is probably Keldon Johnson, an Ivy swap. You could do Bagley there. Maybe even Hayes. But again, like the Spurs, Keldon Johnson, I don't know about him. I don't know. He's a weak defender. Like, are you really solving some issues there? I'm not sure. But they got to do one of the routes. That's the only way things improve with Detroit. And personally, I would do both. I would do the bloated vet route and move Ivy, get some more assets, and move off that way.